Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Denise, and this is the Dr. Denise Show. This is the Diva Discussion Series, and this is part two with the very inspiring Brooke Stokes. Brooke, thank you for coming back on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, I think, first of all, you know, everyone, check out our first show we just did. We were right in the moment of going from your crisis to stabilization, and there was this crucial turning point where you had that aha moment to get sober. And we were just talking about the Earth Angels, your mentors, Lisa, who helped you during the time of Entrepreneur Spirit with the wedding planning. And it sounds like she was also a surrogate relative, like an auntie or a mother. And then also then we were just starting to talk about your passion for fitness and exercise and meeting Aubrey, and that you potentially didn't want to have that pattern that that woman did at the AA meeting where you thought she was just, I don't want to say, she wasn't in her healing path after a year, right?
Exactly.
So do you want to jump in and tell us, like, I'm so excited, everyone. I met Brooke by knowing her fiance, who's this amazing entrepreneur. And when I met David, he's like, oh my God, you have to meet my fiance. You guys are going to get along so well. And so truth be known, I think the very first time I met you, I was on the phone with you and David for like 3 hours.
It was. We were so excited to meet.
Yeah. And then I feel fortunate that this is during the pandemic, everyone, you know, we're meeting such incredible, inspiring people that are doing good things in the world. I will put also a link with the second show to the interview I did with your fiance so people can kind of know what he's up to. But this the second show, I was very strategic in ending the first show because you were at that point of the turning point and sharing all your vulnerabilities. And right now, there's so much abundance, so much love, so much that you're achieving. I would love for everyone to get a chance to know like what you're up to right now and also kind of all your kind of your mindset, like where you're at after all this healing.
Well, honestly, I think from so many years of, first of all, I wanted to just say thank you for having me on your show. I love talking with you and I love your energy. Your energy is just so, I don't even know, angelic in a way, like pure, just so non-judgmental and loving and supportive. And it's just really beautiful because I think, you know, we are in a time where it's just really easy to place like labels and judgments on things and people. And, you know, I've gotten to this point really the last 6 years of sobriety. And one of the biggest things that I've learned on this journey is who's to say like what's the right or wrong way to do anything. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no correct path to do life. Like this is how
you're making me smile. You know why?
Why?
I just did a post and this is also something funny because you and I, people have given us a hard time and we like, well, you're always in your fitness outfit looking like a hottie. And I did this on my story, not on my regular post on IG. I put a really cute picture of me all happy in my bathing suit because when I'm swimming, that's where I channel like my highest level of greatness. And when you just said there's no one right way to do things, which I think it's also funny that I just kind of even messed that up because it's like its own adaptive perfectionism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really believe that love is what fuels the universe.
Yep.
And can you imagine if we were little kids and we were literally, this is what I envision and what I want and I'm a part of in my mind with all the love I'm spreading. Can you imagine if when we were little kids, we were told like embrace your neurostyle, like you're perfect, your happiness, like, and even like, even if like school's not your wheelhouse, like how to find something else you're really good at when you're a kid and like, how do we serve the world? How do we help each other? Like really like, that's where you find your own unique path is when you're in your happy place. And I feel like every time I go onto your IG, I'm like, oh my God, she's so happy.
She's in her happy place.
You are in your happy place.
Yeah.
And I think that people, the reason why that first show, I wanted to have that standalone is that I think people, you know, I've gone through so many sufferings. I was thinking if I wrote down the last 15 things in the last even 5 years, people would be like, oh my God, I never knew. And so, you know, sometimes on our social media, we might be smiling or wearing a cute outfit or like promoting something great we're doing. But there's like a lot, oftentimes a lot of grit that got put into that happiness. And so I would love to just celebrate, like, I mean, you got sober. You had 3 DUIs. I paid attention. You blew a 0.33, 3 DUIs. To me, it was like your magical shift time, your pivotal moment at the threes. You had Aubrey that helped you. You had Lisa. And now you're in the place where you're empowering and helping others. So you've not only gone into your own suffering, but you spent years getting out of that kind of that you even mentioned with humility, there's still some of that thinking sometimes that you're still working on. But you're always working to elevate and have positive mindset.
That is, yes, that is always trying to look at things with an optimistic, non-judgmental, observational point of view, even in my own body and life, you know, like one of the things, see, I could just go on a whole tangent about this in itself, but.
Well, why don't you go a little bit? Just do a little 1 to 2 minute snap. Let's do a little taglines. Dun, 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 dun. What would we call this tagline?
I think it's interesting that a lot of humans on this planet have had the same thought. And that thought is, I am not worthy, you know, or I'm not enough. And it's interesting that so many people have at one point at least had that thought run through their minds. And that in itself is just a great learning point of, wait a minute, if I'm having the thought of I'm not enough or I'm not worthy, does that, just because I'm having that thought, does that mean that it's true? And when I first learned that I can challenge my thoughts and everything that I think isn't true, doesn't mean that it's a fact. I'm allowed to feel or think whatever I do, that's okay. But does, just because I'm thinking it or feeling it, does it mean that it's an actual fact? Does it make it true? And so when I learned that alone, that I'm allowed to think something and then challenge it and say, okay, well, what supporting evidence do I have that that's a true feeling and that it's true for me? And then being able to go through that process and then say, okay, well, I actually really don't have any supporting evidence that I'm not worthy. So I guess I am worthy, you know? And so I think that we have these programs that run in our subconscious that just have sometimes some disempowering meanings or feelings behind them, and that we have the power to challenge those thoughts and feelings and decide if we want to identify with it and take it on or not. You know, there's.
Okay, ready?
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding. Universe geek moment, calling all geeks. Okay, you're talking about the power of belief.
Yeah.
And there's the most amazing book that I'll put the link in the show notes of Bruce Lipton, who is a visionary in the power of belief and what we tell ourselves and how it affects ourselves. And I want to compliment you for bringing this up. It's such a humbling moment when, first of all, we realize the only moment we have is right now. And then second of all, being an observer, you're talking about you're there, you're Brooke, I'm Denise, we're here, we're having this show, but we're here talking, but then we're also can observe ourselves in the moment. Mm-hmm. And that is a mindfulness approach. And when we reach, I talked about this in India when I was speaking at the Dalai Lama's Body, Mind, Life conference, and also with my patients, that how do we have the highest level of health and well-being? It's through that first step, awareness, which you were talking about in the last show, how for a long time, you know, you were emotionally and spiritually bankrupt because of using substances.
Yep.
So you weren't aware. And I feel like you're like a champion of abundance and awareness right now. And your precision discussion of the importance of being in the moment of now and watching and observing your thoughts and feelings and not judging it. That is like that's where the money is.
That's
where the happiness is.
Yeah.
That's where it is. The spiritual meat, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes, I mean, I didn't learn that though, which was crazy. So where we left off in the story was I had just gotten into health and fitness. And so even getting into health and fitness, I became like super obsessed with it and kind of just transferred the addiction over to where I still wasn't necessarily in a place. I was more aware, but I wasn't in a place of a deep place of awareness because I was still trying to numb and kind of run away. So I was filling every moment of my time that I could with health and fitness, which most people would be like, oh, well, at least it's health and fitness. Yeah, but our intentions for things and the intention behind why we do things is what makes it even more important. So my intention was, yes, I really enjoyed it, but I also was using that to still kind of run away from becoming more aware. Does that make sense?
Yes. And I want to just really instill upon phrases I use with my clients and also that I want to get out to the world. My neuro style has some perfectionism. And I think lots of times with your healing from any sort of addiction, you might have an obsessive neuro style. I'm not saying it's across the board, but what you're also talking about, I think for anything we're doing, is adaptive perfectionism versus restrictive. So when you're starting to do your new fitness plan and maybe you're getting almost like addicted to how great you look or addicted to I'm doing this many sets or I look this good. And also you shared in a really vulnerable place that you had anorexia and you were down to 95 pounds. So if your neuro style includes a propensity towards eating disorders, and by the way, everyone, the word disorder for me as a doctor is like nails on the chalkboard. But I do need to at times kind of go into the Western phrases and also honor that they're suffering, right? So I just want to say, it sounds like you, I love that you're sharing that you went from replacing alcohol with fitness, but that you were then even aware that that could become too much if it wasn't in a balance.
Exactly. And that was probably, actually, now that you say that, that's probably been one of my biggest learning lessons in my journey is finding that balance, because I'm really good at, and you know, you're smarter than me, so you've got some the terms.
No, that's not, I mean, things. Come on, everyone, we all have our different smarts, honey. You can probably sit me down and give me some street smarts.
Well,
I trust too easily, I'm too kind. You're gonna have a little talk with me later too, so go ahead.
I could maybe teach you some things.
You can teach me a lot. We can all teach each other.
But the I don't know exactly the words to like how to explain it exactly, but I'm an extremist. Like whenever if I like something, I'll definitely go to the, or not even necessarily, I don't even have to necessarily like it, because anorexia was kind of the same thing where I became obsessed with people being like, oh, wow, you're looking so like thin. Oh, have you lost weight? And even though sometimes it wasn't even a positive way someone was saying it, I became obsessed with like those results. And so that same thing happened with fitness, where I became so into fitness and how clean I could eat and how much I could work out. And it became, I became very unhealthy at one point in the beginning of my journey, because I was over training and I wasn't eating enough. I wasn't getting enough rest. I wasn't doing it the right way.
This is a good sacred pause for all of us. I want to do a deeper dive in the adaptive versus restrictive perfectionism. I heard those terms in 2004 when I was at a doctor's meeting in San Diego, and it was talking about recovering from nutrition challenges, ironically, but not so ironically. And so a lot of people that are high achieving, and whether it's you're dealing with nutrition, eating challenges, you do, it's like this extreme, like you said, desire to be the best. But the adaptive versus restrictive, adaptive perfectionism is trying to reach your optimal health and well-being, but still having joy and still having fun. The restrictive is where it gets unhealthy, where you're, this will just be really precise now that we're talking about nutrition, whether you're counting calories so much, whether you're looking in the mirror, whether you're doing body checking. And so I like to talk with my patients and also spread this to the world that when we make good choices 80 to 90% of the time, that influences our DNA. Our epigenetics is when we make good choices with our nutrition, our sleep, the people we hang out with, our holistic health, our nature, are giving back. If we're on the top of our own unique plan with that, then we're going to be influencing our own DNA to have the optimal health. But if your neuro style is over the top perfectionism and high achiever, which mine is too, mm-hmm. you have to like almost like rein yourself in and be like, okay, am I having fun? Like, I'll give you guys a really fun example. I was making a gift for someone yesterday, and it was a creative gift. And all of a sudden, the computer program kept crashing on my CVS photo montage. And I was like, two out of the three gifts I wanted to make for someone were really quote unquote perfect. But the third one just wasn't working. And I said, Denise, you have to get to the pool in 20 minutes. So you need to step away from the perfectionism and you need to just print out these gorgeous photos and tell the person with absolute love that the photo album could not be made. So I showed up and this person loves to do collages. And she loved, because we talk about our neuro styles of our perfectionism. She was so proud of me that I said, I came with gifts. I came with smiles. Of course, I like to wear my go-go boots. I came with my go-go's and I showed up and I still had like a really fun day. I got my swim in, but that was an example of me having insight to a perfectionism moment. Like the old me might've sat there going, oh my God, I must get the album done. Must. And then I wouldn't have enjoyed the day as much. Does that resonate with you?
Yep, absolutely. And it's like, and then when you step out of it and you look at it, you're able to observe it. You're like, wow, I really got intense with that.
Yes. Oh my God. I was like, dun, 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 Denise, form of the perfect album. Dun, dun, dun. Arrange the pictures a certain way. Dun, dun, dun. Include all the people she loves, which I did a really lovely job. But then I was like, I kept hitting the buttons and then technology wasn't working. And I'm like, Denise, this person knows you love her. It's her birthday. If you show up just happy you, let it go. You got to get your swim in. You got to get your sun fed. And so I think like just also, I just want to like share, I hope you all can hear my voice. I think it's so important to love ourselves and like embrace our unique neuro style. So like, Brooke, if you're like at the gym going, one more rep, dun, dun, dun. I mean, you can also go into that going, hey, I'm a total warrior chick.
Yep.
Like, so it's like, even if you are happy, we can have multiple feelings at once. It's not just like, oh no, I shouldn't do another set. It could be, I'm rocking it because I am. I mean, look at you. You've got a rocking body, a happy life. I mean, go you.
I wish that I could explain better how that balance came to be, because I've never been so balanced than I am now with my health and fitness, because for so long I was super extreme about it. Like my roommate would make fun of me. She was like, I was that person. If you lived with me, I would see you eating something that wasn't quote unquote healthy to me. And mm-hmm. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you eating that? Like I went super, like military-ish with it. Like we will all eat well and we will work out and we will be healthy and we will do it together. Like I was really intense about it.
I'm going to be honest with you. In medical school, my roommate and I were cleaning up our nutrition and doing our fitness. And we really lost some friends got really upset with us because they were going to the bars a lot and have, by the way, good for them. Everyone can make their own choice to go and celebrate life and go to the bar. So I'm not judging that, but we were in this militant, fitness, exercise, we can't do that. And we could have just gone and seen them. So sometimes you can lose, if you get too into something, you've got to be flexible. I think is what you and I are both talking about. Cause we can all go over the top and we have to remember to have that adaptive and that flexibility is really, really, really important for optimal health is being flexible.
Yeah. And I don't know where people, how you find your exact balance for that, because mine just came over over the last 6 years. Now I'm at a place where, I moved to Asia in 2018, which is a whole story in itself, but I moved to Asia and I backpacked for that whole time. But I made sure that I worked out 5 to 6 days a week. Like I never worked out less than that. Like I made sure that.
Can I tell you, I'm that intense about my swimming. Yeah. I literally do it at least six days a week. And for me, my swimming, I'm a single mom. And especially during the pandemic, everyone, I don't have family here. And my son's stepdad moved away. And so sometimes when I look so happy, I bought a different bathing suit for every day of the week so that I feel like I'm like, dun, 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 looking cute, going to the pool. And then, so for me, going to the pool and swimming is not only fitness and exercise, but it's nature, it's time. I do believe in God and all the ascended masters and my relatives. And so even before I go in the pool, it's like I bless the swim somehow, or I come up with a word. I even devote different laps. I do moving meditations to different things I want to accomplish, and I have gratitude. And so if I ever look like super happy and it's like, oh, what is that woman doing happy on Instagram in her bathing suits with her cleavage? Because some people are like, why are you doing those pictures? Well, number one, I'm actually happy. So right. I'm literally spreading love in that moment. And number two, we are on planet Earth. If I only just did posts that were super geeked out doctor-like, some of the people that I want to work with wouldn't even work with me. You know, we are in a place where people do like to see that kind of fun. So, I mean, can you relate to any of this stuff with IG and like spreading your happiness?
Yeah, I've learned that over, especially at first, you know, when I first got into health and fitness, it was cute to everybody, you know, because it's like a lot of people knew that I was never into health and fitness. They didn't know the extent of my alcoholism, but they knew that I wasn't into health and fitness. So when I started posting like workout videos and, you know, look at me and my gym progress, it was cute. You know, people like, oh, look at her, she's cute, you know, starting something new. And then over the years, you know, not to toot my own horn, but to toot my own horn, the body.
Come on, you're like sizzle.
The body.
You're
like,
okay, wait, time out. You're sizzle hot, but your energy of your happiness and your smiles and the words that come out of your mouth, you're matched. You're having what I call a heart and mind resonance. So keep going.
Well, you know, if you look at the transition of my body, I used to look at bodybuilders when, you know, before I was into health and fitness, and I would see these big jacked bodybuilders, and I was like, I would never be attracted to somebody that was all like, you know, muscly. And so then when I got into health and fitness and I realized what it took to create that body, it flipped to a whole new admiration to be consistent with something and disciplined with something and to have a passion for something that was healthy. My view towards it totally changed, where I was like, oh my gosh, these men with these muscly bodies, all the discipline, all the hard work, how hot, like the dedication to something that made them happy and fulfilled them was so hot to me compared to before, all I saw were muscles. So for me, it's like,
so it was the process. I want to just do another ding, 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 ding. Like, you respected and championed and knew all the hours of self-love, good nutrition, good fitness moves that it took to look like that. It wasn't just the finished product.
Right. So it's like, when, if people, you know, now I just did a post on this recently, because I had this girl that I know, and, you know, I'm not a very petty person. I'm not even actually a very competitive person. Like,
you're competitive with yourself, like me. Yeah. And that's when people don't even know what to do, because I'm like, excuse me, I'm not in competition with you.
Yeah. I don't pay attention. Like, I really don't care about, like, if you threw me in a sport team and we're like playing football or something, I really don't care to win. Like,
can I do something kind of spontaneous and like my narrow style? Can I read your most recent post on IG to everyone? Because I think it's going to help us with all the other fun things we're going to cover. It's like, tag, you're it, like a game show. Tag. Here we go, everyone. This is Brooke Stokes on IG. Here's some fit. This is you. Here are some fun facts about my journey so far on this planet. I love Mexican food the mostest. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm a stepmom to three little amazing humans and a dog mom to a Cheweenie named Rumi and a Bernese Border Collie Bella. My favorite colors are green and yellow. I have a close-knit group of friends, and my longest friendship of 20 years is with Samson Smarty Pants. She also calls me B. I love this one. I'm engaged to the love of my life, who I never thought would like me back. So never give up, ladies. Evolving David. I'm a serial online entrepreneur because it gives me the freedom to create my own schedule and work from everyone. I live to travel, and I make sure to travel at least once a month Mexico is one of my favorite places. By the way, I loved your Tulum photos. I moved to Asia in 2018 to follow my dream of backpacking and ended up living in Thailand and Indonesia until I moved to Texas to be with David. By the way, I know you were having some sizzle fun exchanges from Thailand to the U.S. at that time with that man.
Sure were.
I got sober from alcohol in 2015. Woo, woo. And I went from self-sabotaging to self-love, which is what I like. So happy to have you on the show. And then we talked about this last show. I was a wedding planner for 9 years before I went completely digital. Born in California, lived mostly in Virginia. Oh, I love this. I feel like I should have grown up in the 60s and 70s. That's my true identity. I'm a gypsy at heart. And this is what I really love, because this is a reflection on using your social media in such a positive way that we all need to think about. It's crazy to think about what our lives would be like if one detail went another way. Where we are now would probably look totally different. If I hadn't looked online for a dog that day, even thought it was fun, let's just look. If Melissa hadn't had that conversation that we both loved M&M and struggled with similar family relationships, maybe we wouldn't have bonded and grown our friendship. If I had let the fear keep me from pursuing David because I truly felt he would never like me back. If I had never kept, and this is key, if I had never kept an open mind to do things I didn't understand, if I hadn't had that last arrest from my alcoholism, where would I be today? Alive? Your story and your experience on this planet is special. Never minimize your story. If you can, share it. I've been impacted to create and do things I never thought I could because of other people's stories. If you read anything we have in common, let me know. How does it feel when I read that back to you?
That's my post. That's
I know.
That's fun.
But this is, I want to honor you and what you're doing. I think, you know, we're living in a world where it's very digital. We're reading people's stories. We're looking at the pictures. And the vibrational frequency of that post gives a lot of hope. It's really encouraging people to own every moment of their life, the times that we're crying, the times that we're suffering. And I really, can you give us a little juicy details on how you had persistency with your fiance?
Oh my gosh, I had so much persistency. It was ridiculous. So I finally decided just to kind of connect how I left eventually weddings, because I, you know, by the time that I left, I'd been doing weddings for 9 years and I was crushing it. And because I never finished my college degree, I never finished culinary school, so I didn't have a college degree. So I just want to give a quick blurb on following your dreams. And I knew when I was 17, 18, I had told my best friend, Melissa, I said, we need to go to overseas and we need to travel the world. And she was like, I'm down, totally down. And so we had a goal of how much money we were going to save up and then we were going to move. Well, when I got into the wedding industry, it changed everything for me. And so I got sucked into that and I really fell in love with what I did for a really long time. So when I got to the point of 9 years, I couldn't wait to leave. I was kind of checked out the 3 years before that. I was tired. I was burnt out. I had done over, at that point, I did about 120 to 140 weddings a year for 9 years. So wow. I was exhausted and I couldn't, I knew I wanted to travel the world. I had thought about it all the time. I remember back when I was still drinking, I read a magazine about this girl. She was featured in there about how she had left to go travel. And I was reading it and I just started sobbing and I'm like, this is supposed to be me. I'm supposed to be traveling. And so I knew that that's what I wanted to do. And I had gone on a trip to Belize and I was coming back. And this is where I believe in like the power of like your words and manifestation. I had written on my board. I had a little whiteboard that I put my workouts on and my goals. And I wrote everything on this board. And
by the way, everyone, the more sensory input we give, whether it's through voice, moving meditations, writing things down, our vision board, we're more connected with our focused intention. So go you.
Exactly. So I had written on my board that this was at the end of 2017. I was like, 2018 is going to be my year of travel. So start of 2018 in January, I went to Belize. And on the way back from Belize, we were on a boat. And I remember something, I'm just staring off into the ocean. And I just had this thought, this voice that was like, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to quit my wedding planning career and I'm going to move overseas. Like, that's it. And the guy that I was dating at the time was like, what? And I was like, I'm going to go back and I'm done. I'm leaving. And he was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. So I did. I came back and I spent 11 months just planning. I wanted to finish out my wedding season because it was the start of my wedding season. And, you know, I promised a bunch of my couples, you know, I'll plan your wedding. And so I couldn't leave 100 brides. And so.
No. Oh my gosh. Especially since they picked you.
Right.
I felt like the panic of the brides right then.
Yes. So I couldn't do that to them. So I didn't tell anybody that I was leaving, but I just made sure to train in all my other people and make sure that they were prepared. And I slowly started taking a step back. And so when that November came, I had planned everything to move to Thailand. So I did. So I left my career. I moved to Thailand. And actually, right before that, I had become part of a company where we sold health and wellness products. And so that was the first time I had met David was at an event in Chicago. A bunch of the leaders had gone to Chicago to meet up. And so I had met him for the first time there. And then I met him again in September, end of August, I think. September, which was a couple months after that. And I was supposed to be moving in November to Asia. So I had seen him again at another leadership event. And when I saw him, it was the weirdest thing. Like, I saw him and then a mutual friend that night called and said, hey, Brooke, come out to dinner. And he happened to be at that dinner. So we spent the whole night talking. And after seeing him, I called my mom and my best friend the next day. And I was like, you guys, there is this man that I am just totally head over heels for. And they were like, oh, that's great. So what's going to happen? I'm like, oh, nothing. He's not ever going to be interested in me. Like, he's not going to feel that way about me. And then I was like, and also he has kids and I don't date people with kids. And so, cause at that point I don't have kids of my own. So, and I wasn't open to becoming a stepmom. That was not in the cards for me at the time. So I moved to Asia. And when I moved, I had reached out to him after a couple of months and just asked some business questions because we were still doing business together. So I had asked him some business questions and we talked a little bit, but David never like crossed the line of showing interest. So I never thought he would be interested or was interested in me in any way. So then a couple more months went by and I had posted something on my Instagram and we were all in the same fitness group. Like in the company, there was a group of us that were like super into fitness. So we all tagged each other in posts and stuff all the time. So I had made a post and he like messaged me and was like, oh, wow, you look beautiful or something. And that was like calling me beautiful. He had never said anything like that before. So I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, thanks. And he was like, I'm sorry. You know, that was, I crossed the line and I was like, oh no. And so I tried to like say something that was, it took me forever to figure out how I was going to
work. So this is part of a diva discussion, everyone, because there must've been something magical about David because you were breaking your own rules.
Oh yeah.
I love when this is like a shout out to all the divas. And by the way, men, women, theys, all like, I include all of it. Like you knew there was something in your heart that was so attracted to him and you were willing to change you were being adaptive and like, okay, maybe I could be a stepmom. Okay. I mean, you really you went next level with this relationship.
I went super next level with it. And which, yes, I did. And I'm going to explain a part of that because being with David has been one of the most transformational and healing parts of my journey, really. So I sent him this like long message saying basically like I look up to you and your leadership and I appreciate you, but I also said something in there about like kind of being interested in him, but he totally like deflected it and was like sent the most simple, it took me forever to draft my message, and then his message back was like, Yeah, I enjoy talking to you too. Like, keep crushing it or something.
Well, can I just say something though? Ladies, how many times do we write these unbelievable, qualitatively rich? And I'm like, oh, and then when I look at it from a male's perspective, they're like, that was just too wordy. Like my friend and I are like, we look at our texts and we're like, oh my God, it's going to be like, blah, 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 blah. like, wah, 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 wah. Because I'm like, oh my gosh. And even in business, I know men, usually I try, and by the way, I'm not trying to be gender or sexist or anything, but I try to go into business meetings because I know my neuro style. I get so passionate when I can talk. I write bullet point outlines now when I'm about to talk to men so that they get relieved.
That's a good point.
So what was his one liner?
Oh, his one liner was like, yeah, I enjoy talking to you too. Proud of you. Like something super basic and like meh. So he didn't even engage with what I said.
Neutral.
Super neutral. So we moved on from that. Like 2 more months went by and I have been following this girl on social media for a long time and I've been following her journey and I love her journey. And so she came out on social media saying that she was a polygamist. And when I read,
was she a polygamist or polyamorous?
Polyamorous.
Okay.
So when I read that, I don't know what in my being was like, I'm going to text David and ask him what he thinks about polyamory. So I know.
Wait, time out. Crazy. So you went from sending him this heartfelt, like, I really want to be with you sort of. And then he did a neutral thing. And then you went to polyamory.
Yes. Yep. Two. And that was like, and like months had gone by and like, we had never spoken about anything in that realm ever. And for some voice, I don't know, this random voice pops in at opportune times and is like, you should text David and ask him what he thinks about polyamory. So I did. I picked up my phone and I texted him and I was like, hey, I have a question for you that's not business related. And so
he
messaged me back immediately and was like, I'll call you in 10 minutes. And I was like,
what?
Yeah. So we got on the phone and I'm like, so, you know, I really value your perspective on life. And so I was curious what you think about polyamory.
Oh my Lord. What a great liner, by the way.
And he's like,
I just want to give you kudos. I've got to tell you something I do with online dating. But did you do that strategically to get his attention or did you really mean it or was it a bit of both?
I don't even know. Honestly, I just heard the voice say, ask him what he thinks about this. And I was like, okay. So I did. Kind of like the voice that was like, I'm done. Like, there's just sometimes there's this voice and I just hear it. And I just remember the exact moment of thought that was my moment of thought. It was like, yeah, you just got to ask him what he thinks about this. So we're on the phone FaceTiming. He FaceTimed me. We're on the phone FaceTiming and he doesn't have a shirt on, which,
oh Lord,
if anybody's ever seen him, I mean, his chest area looks good, you know? So I'm like, oh my gosh. So we have this conversation about polyamory and basically he stays neutral on that too. He's like, well, I've had people in my life that they've said it worked really well for them. And then I've had people in my life that it did not work well for them. And I'm like, interesting. So we have this
conversation. I love that we're having, can I just pause? Because I know this is your story, but this is so relevant to the world.
Yeah.
And this is such a great diva discussion. I was on the phone with one of my dear friends. We're both single, strategically single, because we're not settling. And she texted me last night that the man that wants to start seeing her cross country wants to be monogamish. And so then I started looking
monogamish.
I started sending her, I was like being all doctor like and also good friend like. I was sending her articles on it, open relationships. And then I'm like, she's like, we'll talk tomorrow. I'm like, oh yes, we will. So go ahead.
That is so funny.
Monogamish. There's monogamish. Actually a movie on that too. And it's talking, and I guess this man was really trying to get her, he was giving her the data on their text exchange. Saying 80% of relationships. And by the way, I know people that are in open relationships that are highly successful. So I'm not trying to judge anything. I have no judgment. In fact, one of my core mission statements when I was launching the Ascension show series that I did during the pandemic, or I know we're still sort of in the pandemic, was to really kind of meet society head on with healing from some of the Me Too movement. And I'm really passionate about sacred sexuality and consensuality. So I love, in fact, I'll put the links to that in the show notes for this, because I love that you and your beautiful fiance, David, Evolve Soul, had these discussions that were so high level before everything started to turn into magic.
Yes, we did. And
by the way, can I just tell you, I'm doing something such a Deniseism. Do you have a favorite song that you like?
Oh my gosh, I have so many. Music is my...
Well, just do, is there one that's in honor of like divas or something?
I really love the song by Fleetwood Mac, Gypsy.
Okay.
Just the feeling I get. I love Fleetwood Mac. Stevie Nicks is like, oh my gosh.
I love Stevie Nicks too. Here. This one, right? Okay, hold on. Okay, everyone, this is so my neuro style. Mm-hmm. I'm in the moment of joy with you. We're going to keep talking about the monogamish and just that whole evolution of your love and then also what you're doing. But I literally just took a picture of me on this call with you in my robe with my headphones. Saying happy Sunday, like do what you love, diva discussions. And I tagged you and then I put the song you love.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Because it's like capturing, I also want to model to people moment. That like the only moment we have is now and now. I'm like in such joy. So why not capture that and why not tag it with some music you love and like take it next level?
You're so right. I love that so much. I can't wait to see the tag. I'm excited.
Yeah. So go ahead. So you were talking to David. So just tell us, because I think this is inspirational. So I want to make sure everyone gets some tips out of this. So when you're starting to date or you know that you're actually really interested in someone, you have to question look at your own awareness of what do I need right now? Does this person have the same interests? How do we start to communicate with one another? And you kind of in a very, like if any man on the universe would be like, whoa, I want to hear about this. Because most men get very attracted when anything like on my Hinge profile, I wrote about sacred sexuality and everyone's like, what's that? So it's like a conversation game changer flirt factor. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if that's why you did that. Cause it's like really engaging.
I just wanted to spark a conversation and I was just curious as to what he thought about it. And so we had that discussion and he was like pretty neutral about it. And we got off the phone and I sent him a message and I was like, wow, I had looked at David's done like a lot of like modeling and dancing before. So I had seen pictures of him, you know, shirtless modeling pictures, but I was like, wow, I've never seen you shirtless like in person. And then he sent me a selfie of him like just sitting there like, you know, in bed. And I was like,
oh God, is he okay with this, by the way, you sharing
this? Yeah. So okay. He sent me that picture. And so, well, I'm like, oh, well, shit, if we're sending pictures and, you know.
No. It's like you want to up your game. You're like, okay.
I'm sitting you're by
like,
the pool.
You're like, game on, honey. Game challenge on. Accepted. I will show my hotness factor too.
Exactly. And I just so happened to be sitting next to the pool. So I was like, perfect. So, you know, I sent him a picture of me sitting by the pool, you know, a little bit of booty action in there. And he was like, oh my gosh, beautiful, you know. And so from that day for like 2 weeks, a week and a half-ish, we talked nothing but business, but we always made it a point to talk the next day. We're like, yeah, you know, like all this is happening in the company and like we really should work on this. Do you want to talk about it tomorrow? Do you want to hop back on the phone tomorrow
and
make sure that we really cover this to make sure it's taken care of? Oh, yeah. So for like 2 weeks, we just like put everything on business, but made sure that we were talking every single day, you know?
So can I just share a really fun story? And I won't say the person's name. It happened this year. Well, I won't even give too many details because I want to respect the individual's privacy and mine. But the bottom line is I was so passionate about going to this event that was in honor of mental health. I just wanted to not take a date because I didn't have anyone serious. And so the bottom line is I met someone and I thought, oh, they're in the same interest as me. I was sending my press release. Maybe I could interview them on a show. And then they're like, yeah. And then I didn't know. My mom's like, I think it sounds like more of a date, not like a networking thing. So I didn't know until 10 minutes before I was leaving to go to dinner when they texted me, what is your curfew? Right. Like, so then I was like, game on. This is like a flirt thing. So I think the other thing too, is when we're trying to figure out, does someone like me? Do they not? And you're like, especially if you meet someone and you both have the same passion, which it seems like the core element with you and David too, like you were working for a company, you had spiritual and value alignment, not just only sexual chemistry. And I feel like that's why I also wanted to just celebrate your love. And then, you know, do you want to say anything about that? Cause I just see like the, all the ways you guys are growing together.
Well, he was like my unicorn. And like, so we fast forward, we did the overseas thing for a couple months. You know, I lived in, at that time I was actually living in Indonesia. I was living in Bali, and he was traveling between Texas and Mexico. So our time differences were so different. The service, trying to get service in another country, especially like on an island like that, was ridiculous, but we made it work. Like we were determined. And so we talked every day for those 2 months, and we did the whole over, you know, long distance thing. And finally he was like, I want you closer to me. And so, so I moved, I left, and I traveled actually the States for like 5 months. Me and him kind of like traveled around for like 5 months, and I didn't plant anywhere.
So wonderful.
No, I was going to move to Florida, and then I ended up last minute. We joked about it, and I was like, well, what if I just moved to Texas? And he was like, do it. So I did. So I moved to Texas.
Yay. So Brooke, I feel like after our first show, and I know we're deep into this one, and it's fun hearing like the excitement of the love. Can you share with everyone some of your current projects that you're doing and how you're empowering others through your coaching and through business and through wellness? Because I feel like you're like a walking example of crisis, stabilization, and thrive. And you've been able to attract the love of your life. I know this morning you were cuddling with your, you call them your littles, your stepchildren.
Yeah.
And there's so much love and joy in your life. And I know you're integrating that into all that you do. So can you passionately tell us what you're up to?
Yeah. And I guess I want to touch on that for a little bit, because no place, you know, I don't believe that, and most things just don't come easy. I think that if we want to have a greater life, we're going to have to fight for it. And so people might look at where I'm at right now and you're like, oh, you know, all this love with the littles and the, it didn't, none of that came easy. Like that was such a learning experience in itself, because I grew up with, as a single kid, pretty much. I mean, my parents on both sides had kids with different people. And so there's like, you know, step family involved, but I didn't grow up with them. Like I wasn't raised with them. I was raised as an only child. And I was also raised around, I was passed off a lot around to different people because nobody wanted a parent. Nobody was ready to be a parent. Mm. And I was really mad about that for a long time. But then now that I'm in my 30s and I look back to, oh my gosh, my mom was trying to raise me in her 20s. And then even in the, you know, like now, I can't imagine being a mom in my 20s. I was such a shit show. Of course, my parents were all over the place. Like I wouldn't have been able to handle that. Look at where I was in my 20s. So I didn't have any compassion, and I had a lot of judgment for my parents, and it doesn't make what they did okay. They still made some stupid decisions that—
Can I ask you a really spot on? Have you forgiven them?
I have forgiven them, and it took a long time, and it actually wasn't even just getting sober. It even took a long time after getting sober for me to forgive them, and it came from finding compassion on this spiritual journey. And now, you know, when I recommend to evaluate your values frequently, you know, a few times a year, you should really take a look at your values.
Well, I think daily of my in. I wanted to share one. I talk about my browser windows and my karmic burners. Mm-hmm. And my browser windows are the things like, oh, you should really organize your charts. You need to go to the grocery store, your linears, your like errands. And then the karmic burners are, where am I at with my self-love, my relationships, my manifestation? So I feel like if we're doing like the only moment we have is now in a life review, all, like pretty much in motion, and that's just part of your mindset, that's when you're kind of reaching your highest level of happiness.
Yeah. And I think it's weird to think of things as so permanent. Like I've always I've been a very flighty, like I'm a Gemini, and I don't—
Oh, I'm a Gemini too.
Oh my God. What? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That changes everything for me. So, I mean, I don't attribute everything to astrology.
No. By the way, I actually scientific method everyone. I've done Vedic astrology readings with someone that's a fifth generation astrologist. I've trained in remote viewing. So when we talk about the things I'm talking about with the quantum universe, I have my MD, but I've also gone and I experience this. I integrate these concepts into my work with my patients and also into the shows. You know, before we got on today, I like blessed our show. I was like, oh my God, I get to talk to Brooke in this way. So I feel like it's really cool when you kind of throw it down and use all the gifts and all the awarenesses.
I love that. You're right. All the gifts.
Right? All the tools in the toolbox. Which tool do I need today?
I'm just so excited that you're a Gemini. So I feel like being a Gemini, it makes us more like we're just more like up in the air. We're down for kind of anything. Making things super permanent is not, it kind of like makes us like cringe. We're like, oh, like I need room to be able to like evolve and grow and spread my wings. And like, I can't be, you know, the idea of being caged for us is like really intense. Like,
well, I want to relate that back to, for me personally, Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And really like the only moment we have is now, and also non-attachment. I think in my journey on planet Earth, in my evolution of really remembering who I truly am from like an angel standpoint and a love bug standpoint, that not getting attached to outcomes allows the most freedom and the most growth.
Yep.
And if you stay in that place of like awareness, self-love and altruism, those core ingredients of really wanting to give back or do something, and you're just being so humble about it because we're going to make mistakes along the way. We're not perfect. We might,
so many mistakes.
Like my personality style can be too much for most people, I think.
Yeah.
But yes and no. People end up really loving me, but I have insight that my level of enthusiasm when everyone's like, oh God, just another day on earth. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's crush it. You know?
Yeah. And different levels of like different times of your life, you're just in different spaces. So like, if I told you that I was a good step parent at first, but I wasn't a great step parent. And I had this huge epiphany moment actually where I have a lot of trauma around the idea of kids. And because I grew up with like my whole family talking about how terrible kids were, like, and treating me with the same way that they talk, like kids are burdens. And then them trying to always pass me off, like who wants her? Who wants to take care of her?
So can I give you a compliment? I know that we do need to wrap up soon just because of the time, not because I'm not interested. But can I give you a specific, precise compliment?
Mm-hmm.
I can feel, and by the way, it's really normal, everyone, because by the way, I've been a step parent before. And I think there's just stages of attachment and connection. When you're falling in love with David, or let's say you're out there and you're falling in love with someone and they have a blended family, you're about to make a blended family, there's stages of, you don't want to just go in there like a bull in the china shop, because children need to, you know, first of all, you need to make sure you and your partner are on that trajectory, because you don't want children to get overly attached to someone that's not going to be in their life. And the compliment I want to give you is I feel like you love those kids so much. I can see it in the posts, and I don't feel like you're just posting to be like, look at me, I'm this great stepmom. I feel like you want people to feel the joy of the moments. Like, I really like that video where the kids were in that little car. And I was like, oh my God, they're in this motorized car. And then I looked at the truck. I'm like, oh my God, are they going to hit the truck?
Oh my gosh. They almost hit that truck like 12 times.
And I was feeling the energy. Like, I was right there in the moment. But I also felt like there was so much joy in you letting them like explore, become bigger, like take their own challenge in the motorized, like little kids vehicle. And that there was that energy of connection. And I like that you just said to everyone that wasn't how you went into it. You had your own things that you were healing from your childhood. And that I feel like, by the way, I believe that we're all here to heal, and that all different relationships we have, however long they last, can give us like a level of healing when we're aware and we're present. I feel like that's what you're doing with your coaching, right?
Exactly. And that's what has brought me to, I think, being a good coach and a good step parent and a good fiance and having a good relationship with myself is allowing there's no getting to a place and being like, oh, well, I guess this is it that I've made it. It's honoring myself and, like you say, living in every moment and honoring who I am in that moment and where I am, how I want to show up, how I want to evolve, how I want, what meaning I want to give to that moment. And it all, it really does all boil down to that moment, because kind of like a good example would be, I was out to eat with my, one of my older stepdaughters the other day, and she's 19. And she was like, well, you know, I haven't really figured out what I want to do with my life. And that statement alone, I was like, I hear bells, like ding, 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 ding. Like, and I told her, I said, honey, this is how I view it. I was like, the perspective I have is you don't really need to figure out what you need to do with your entire life. You just need to figure out what you want to do with where you're at in your life right now, because the person that you're going to be and evolve and grow into might not feel that same way about whatever it is you decide to do in a year or two. And you might evolve and say, I want to become a painter. And then you're a painter for a few years and you love it and you enjoy it. And you're like, you know what? My true path is opera. And, it, you know, like yes. honoring who you yes. are in the version and the season of your life at that point in time. And so this bullshit idea that has been taught to kids or to people that you need to pick one thing and then that's your thing. And then you just need to do that. Like, but that doesn't honor every evolution and version of ourself that might be in whatever period moving forward. So I just want to honor who I am right now and what my intention is for this moment. And I think that's what's really helped me in my coaching journey and even being a step parent, is just honoring people with where they're at in that moment and finding what's their intention, what's their goal, what do they want for right now. And then anything that, you know, changes and evolves later, then we'll be speaking from a completely different place later, because there's been evolution, you know?
Absolutely. So right before we finish up this show, can you talk about some of your new endeavors and what that's looking like?
Yes. So I have,
and then just, you'll give us a link too, so I can, like, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've my vision is independence. I want people to have freedom and independence with themselves in the financial space, in the physical space, in the spirituality space, in the emotional space. And that is just, for me, independence and freedom is just being able to take a step back and look at that area of your life and say, and have the confidence and trust and the relationship within yourself to make the decision to move forward in whatever way you choose. Because I think sometimes we stop and we try to look at all these outside things. So like somebody or something yes. telling me the answer of
the,
what
the,
I
need. Realizing the answers are from within. I mean, you can right. pick, I think of it as like when someone's like, oh my gosh, Dr. Denise, or did I'm like, well, wait a second. You made the choice to reach your optimal wellness. You made the choice to come to me. So that's your power. Because yep. sometimes people, we want to give our power away to an external, but the power of love is within. It doesn't mean that there's not angels like yourself helping people, or, you know what I'm saying? We look upon people as mentors, like, or like Linda and Aubrey, but at the end you had to make the healthy choice. And I feel like you're all about empowering people to really go within and love themselves.
Yep. And to find that freedom within you and to create that financial, spiritual, emotional independence that everybody's situation is going to look totally different. And that's great, because there is no wrong or right way to look or feel or be. Like, it's everybody's experience on this planet is different. And so I just like to connect people to things that can help them to claim more of that independence. So last year I got really into the crypto space, because I think that that's a very amazing avenue for people to learn a skill set to be able to find more financial freedom. And so I've been able to help a lot of women in the investment space using crypto to grow portfolios and become more financially independent. So that's been incredible. And then I do coaching, like women empowerment coaching. So being able to, like you said, just guide people, you know, asking a lot of questions to where they are and where they want to be, because I'm not going to sit here and point you know, this is what you need to be doing. Well, you tell me what your intentions are and what your ideal life looks like, and then let's get there, you know, and helping hold people.
So where can people find that information of what you're doing? Is that on IG as well?
Yeah, yeah. Shoot, find me on IG. Brookstokes.com is my website that is just about finished. I got a few tweaks happening with it. But
Will you send me the link to that I can add later too? Because I want to make sure everyone knows how to find you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think we're good. Is there anything else you want to just tell? Like any ending like pieces of advice or love you wanted to say before we wrap up?
I would say probably just if you haven't gotten clear on what your values are, I would recommend just stopping and taking some time to get clear on what those are, because I use those as my compass kind of for like everything, like all the decisions that I make. If I come to a point where I don't know an instant decision, I just take a look at my values and I'm like, okay, well, which choice is more in alignment with my values? So that's been a compass for me that has just very much changed my life and been able to tap into my own power. So instead of looking outside and saying, hey, somebody help me with this question or what should I do? I just check it with my own personal value system. And then it's easier for me to make a decision. So I would say for the self-love journey and the confidence journey, connecting with your values and connecting back with yourself is such a confidence booster and is just very game-changing. And then you combine that with just being self-aware and saying, hey, every thought that runs through my mind isn't necessarily a fact. Challenging your own thoughts and feelings is super healthy and totally okay. So if you have a disempowering thought like, I just suck. Okay, well, where's the truth behind that? Where is the validity in that statement? Oh, wait, there isn't any. Okay, well, that's not true. I rock. And then I move on, you know?
Well, that's why I think I noticed in your bio on Instagram, you know, as an adult and child psychiatrist, there's cognitive behavioral therapy, which is the reframing, which is what you're talking about. And then there's something called dialectical behavioral therapy that's mindful awareness of the only moment we have is now. And it sounds like you have that integrated into your coaching, into your mind. And also you and your David, you guys do all kinds of learning sessions together. So I think the other thing too, everyone, is to be humble and that we're always a student. Like every moment we can learn from one another and learn from ourselves.
Yep, absolutely. And so that journey, it's never ending. And that's what's beautiful about it is you don't have to judge the journey of, well, when will I make it? Well, there is no making it. It's the journey is forever going. And so we get to connect with each other on the way. And that's why I'm grateful for you to have me here at this point in my life. And, you know, it's a beautiful spot. And if we ever collaborate again, it'd be very exciting to see, you know, where we've evolved into then.
Well, I want to just, so first of all, congratulations on all your accomplishments, your sobriety, your happiness, being a stepmother, doing the coaching. And it's an honor that we've met. And I look forward to any events or live events or online events, but this is also part of getting to know one another. So thank you for our time. You've inspired me. And we'll put the links in to some of the things we spoke about in the bio for this one. And thank you so much, Brooke.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. Woohoo.